with you guys. My first time to the New York area. I've never been to this part of the country before. So,
wow.
Hey! Hey. Hey. It's funny to see the Statue of Liberty. I thought somebody would have been that tonight. You guys are in New York, but it's okay. Maybe it's just people don't get to see it very often. But if you guys do think of the New York Museum, pray that I can feel better. I got a sinus infection. It's not contagious, and you can still hug me. I got some issues. Christina's got some health issues. That's part of the reason we're going out to go see Dr. Mark, one of your guys' elders. He's been helping us out with some health stuff. But you guys are really lucky to have Chelsea and Rob as your campus ministers. Yeah. Please do not take them for granted, because there's people all around the world that would give to have them overseeing and leading their campus ministries, to get any type of training from them. So whatever you may feel or not feel about them, I hope you really appreciate them and what you guys got here in New York. I'm excited to meet the whole crew Friday night.
Come on.
Yes. And get to party with you guys in that way. We had our midweek just last night with 100 disciples in downtown Denver. And they all wish they could be here too. And they heard that we're coming out. They're like, we want to go too. I'm like, nah, it's not one of those things where they can come and join. But I like when I get to go to different places to talk about a game-changing topic. There's one thing that, when we got to travel the world and go to different campus ministries, that there's one thing that gives a ministry an it factor. There's one element that completely changed the course of a semester, that can completely change an individual, that can take ordinary people and make them extraordinary. It's faith. Yeah. Like, faith is the crux of everything in Christianity. And the more faith you can develop and increase in you, the more impact you're going to see happen in your life, happen in your friend's life, happen with your family. Yeah. Like some of you guys, even between now and Sunday, could gain some more faith, and it could even change your parents' perspective on coming to church on Sunday. Wow. It could change your friend's perspective about coming to Devo Friday night. It could help change a weak Christian's perspective. Like faith, it's everything that we do as disciples boils down to faith. And Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your faith, it will be done to you. I've been in Bible talks that have stumped, but somebody had faith, and it totally changed the course of that Bible talk. I've seen people who had all the talent but had no faith, and they wonder why they don't have any fruit in their life. And I've seen someone who, with a lot less talent or a lot less experience, have a lot more fruit in their life based just on simply faith. So that's the cool thing about faith, is you can always get more of it. It's contagious. You can share it with each other.
Right.
And it's something that we never have enough on. It's like this ongoing pursuit in our lives. And so we're going to look at an example. Go to Mark chapter 9. It is Halloween. So we got to talk about demons, okay? So we're going to look at demons and dive into this tonight. But in the midst, we're going to look at the Father's faith. And that's really the game changer of the story, is the faith for the Father. But as we dive into this, open up your heart wide as we talk about faith, because faith is really a vulnerable topic.
Yeah.
Because every single one of us here doesn't have enough faith, including myself, to do what God has tasked us to do as disciples. It's like this, all of us tonight need more faith.
Right.
And so I hope tonight can touch a piece of you that's really starving and hungering for more. But Mark chapter 9, verse 17, that's where we'll pick up here.
All right, bro.
Actually, we'll pick up in verse 14. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing about? He asked. The crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, you unbelieving generation. Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. is often thrown into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus replied, everything is possible for him who believes. Yeah. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Right. When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsing him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to the feet, and he stood up. What a crazy, crazy story. Yeah. Jesus is coming down with James, Peter, John. They just had an epic quiet time where Moses and Elijah decided to join Mount Transfiguration. I mean, they had this incredible time with God, and the rest of the disciples are left to kind of have their own quiet time. And Jesus and Peter, James, and John, they're coming down the mountain. They see this crowd that's formed. And there's this argument going on. And it's an embarrassing argument for the disciples' sake. Because this man with a demon-possessed boy brought him to the disciples who had done some exorcisms in the past already. Like, they've done this. They've seen Jesus do it. And they try to drive out the demon, and they cannot.
Wow.
And the teachers are embarrassing the disciples. What? You can't perform a miracle unless your boy Jesus is around? What are you guys, chump change compared to Jesus? How am I supposed to follow Jesus if he's the only one who can be in touch with the power of God? It's an embarrassing situation.
Right.
And disciples are speechless. They don't know what to really say. They don't know why it didn't work. They don't know what's going on. Jesus comes down and he says, guys, what's the problem here? What's going on? And the man steps forward and tells everyone to shut up. Guys, shut up. I brought my son. My son is suffering. I'm suffering. Quit your bickering. Can any of you do something about my son?
Right.
Jesus' response is humbling.
Right.
He says, oh, you unbelieving generation. He said, how long should I put up with your lack of faith? How long should I tolerate how little faith you have? You think by now you would have more faith. You see me do so many miracles. You see me preach the word of God. You've seen incredible things happen, yet you still don't believe. I'm only going to be with you for a little while. Are you going to get it or not?
Wow. Nice.
The boy with the evil spirit starts to come forward towards Jesus and just throws into a complete convulsion.
Right.
Foaming at the mouth, gnashing at his teeth. It's like a seizure with some extras. And the father's face is just embarrassed. Jesus looks at the father's face and sees shame, seems pain, seems confusion and fear. My undergrad's in special education, and I know this look on a parent's face when child is thrown into a seizure and nobody can do anything about it.
Wow.
You watch them hit their head, you watch them bang up their knees, cut up themselves, and there's nothing you can do. It's one of the most powerless feelings you can feel as a parent. To see this hopeless, heartbreaking in a parent to say, I can't even do anything. And in a calm voice, she just has compassion on this and says, how long has your son been like this? Father's like, ever since he was a boy, ever since I can remember. My heart's been broken like this. There's been embarrassment in my life like this. I felt desperate. I felt lonely. People don't want to hang out with my son. People don't want to come visit my house. They don't let me come over. I'm an outcast socially because of what's going on with my son. Anytime we try to go for a swim, the spirit tries to drown him. Anytime we try to have a fire in a house to warm us when it's cold in the winter, this spirit throws him in the fire. He burns himself. My life has never been the same since my son has been this way. Please, please, Jesus, take pity on us. Please, Jesus, if you can do anything, if there's any good in you, can you do something to help my situation? Jesus does not like that statement. Mm-hmm. If I can? What do you mean, if I can?
Oh,
you know who I am? I am the Son of God. I can do anything for him who believes.
Right.
I can do anything for him who believes. And the Father is just utterly vulnerable. He says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I got years of unbelief. I got years of embarrassment, years of fear in this area. I want to believe something can change, but help me overcome my unbelief. And the boy goes into one last seizure as Jesus casts this demon out with shrieking and high-pitched screaming. The demon leaves the boy, and he looks so much like a corpse that people are saying, he's dead.
Wow.
And Jesus lifts him to his feet, and he walks off. Can you imagine what that scene would have looked like?
Wow.
What a humbling experience for all who were present.
Yeah.
But the Father that had the vulnerability, humility, said, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
God knows your lack of faith. He knows what you don't believe in.
Right.
He knows what you say with your mouth you believe in, but in your heart you deny.
Yeah.
He knows what you say you believe in when you're around the brothers and sisters, but what in your heart you doubt. Like, God knows that part of you.
Come on.
And he wants to know, will you get more faith?
Yeah.
Will you increase your faith? Will you let yourself overcome your unbelief?
Come on.
See, this type of prayer, asking for more faith, is like asking for 100 more wishes. When you ask for more faith, it unlocks every door in your life.
Yeah.
And makes so many more things possible in your life than not having faith. It's like asking for 100 more wishes. And sometimes when we hear a lesson on faith, we get overwhelmed thinking, I can't possibly have more faith.
Mm-hmm.
It takes everything in me to have the faith I have right now. How could I possibly get more?
All right.
James 4 says, you don't have because you don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you guys are too afraid to ask because of what would change in you.
Yeah.
As a person, as a woman, as a man, what more faith would do to you?
Come on.
I found that over the years, this is one prayer that God always loves to answer.
Wow. Yeah.
You pray for more faith, that gets his attention.
That's
he
right.
wants to answer it because he knows if you can get more faith, it will change your life.
That's
it
right.
will change the life of all who interact with you. It will change your future. It'll change others' eternal destinations.
Come on, bro.
If you can just get more faith. I find that whenever I pray for something that God's already commanded me to have, he likes to answer those ones more.
Right.
Like, God, help me to be a better husband than Christina. Oh, he loves to answer that one. God, help me to be more humble. And give me the ability to be patient. He's like, I'd be happy to help you be more humble and patient. Because he wants me to be that.
Right.
He wants me to have more faith. He wants you to have more faith.
Come on.
We pray to win the Powerball, which is quite large right now. He doesn't care so much about those scores. God, I'll give 10% of it to the church. No, that doesn't talk to you at all. God, I know it ain't so easy for her, but help me pass this test. No, you gotta reap what you sow. Like, there's some things you can't get out of. If I pray to God, help me shoot an elk this year, I don't think he really cares about that prayer very much.
All right.
But if I ask to be pure, if I ask to be courageous,
wow.
if I ask to give me passion to share my faith, he loves
right.
to answer yeah. those prayers. God wants you to have the belief that sees the glory of God.
Yeah.
You can't have enough faith, but if you can just have enough faith to request it, though, God can still move through that.
Yeah.
I don't know how little your faith feels right now, but if you can just have enough faith to ask for more faith, you better believe God wants to answer that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus has such great compassion on the Father
yeah.
in this passage. Because Jesus saw how his heart broke. He saw how this situation had just complexed his life and broken his and shattered his dreams.
Right, right.
Mm. In the same way, Jesus looks inside your heart.
Mm.
He knows what makes your heart break, that you need more faith in. Mm-hmm. He knows all the fears that you feel, and he has the answer to overcome.
Yeah.
He knows what you feel embarrassed about in your character or in your sinful nature. that you feel too embarrassed to get help with, that he says, man, I can give you the faith to overcome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows your desires. He knows what you need. And he wants to answer your requests if you can just have enough faith to ask.
That's right.
God, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. That prayer has changed my life in so many different ways. And I was 20 years old when I was asked to lead my campus ministry of 9 dysfunctional, weak people, including myself. And I remember it's like, God, I have no idea what this even means. It's like, there's nobody else in the ministry for a 17-hour drive that was under 40. And you want me to, like, lead this campus ministry and go to school full-time? What sounds better than working at the gym? I'll do this.
Yeah.
I remember just praying, like, God, help me overcome my unbelief. Like, how am I ever going to possibly be able to do this? I'm a year and a half old as a Christian. But yet God used that prayer.
Come on, bro.
It did some incredible things to it that I could have never fathomed. Like, I remember praying for 100 disciples. Had no idea how I was going to get there, but God bless it. My wife, she gave up a full ride to get her PhD to go into the ministry. I remember her just thinking, like, God, if I'm going to do this, I need more faith because I see the door in academics. I don't see the door in ministry. I've seen more people come and go in ministry. They said, go get my PhD. She said, God, increase my faith.
Wow. Oh,
there were 7 women in the ministry and 22 men when she started leading together with me. Now there's over 50 women in the Denver campus. And so many more that have graduated in the last 8 years that wouldn't have even had a chance if it wasn't for Christina having the faith to try.
Oh,
man, I think about going to Bangkok, Thailand 5.5 years ago with 10 college students. Our first time in Asia.
Wow.
We get there, and the first week we're there, the guy wants to resign from leading the church.
Jeez.
And I'm like, looks like I got more than just a campus ministry to consider this summer. And learn how to work and help the church during that time. I remember just praying, God, increase my faith.
Yeah.
There's so many times I got to think about God, increase my faith. With Christina's health, it's been a real challenge this last year and a half. We went back to Thailand a year and a half ago, and she almost died. And her health has not been the same. Each day is a statement, God, increase our faith of what you can do.
Right.
That somehow you still want to use us, even though we feel weaker than ever before. You know, we've been praying this school year to see 40 baptisms in the Denver campus ministry. We're at 29 right now. So 11 more to go. And I'm just hitting my knees every night like, God, increase my faith. Increase the faith in my ministry. Like, there's still about 55 people studying the Bible. Certainly this can happen right now. Like, God, increase my faith. We've seen this in so many different situations. We started praying to have a campus ministry at Colorado School of Mines. It's one of the top engineering schools in the country. We had no disciples there. Now we have 4, and about 10 people come to Bible Talk every week.
Wow.
And another guy is probably going to get baptized in the next week.
But yes.
It's because God just increased some people's faith. There was a girl who got baptized just a week and a half ago. And these 2 girls shared their faith, but they live out in Aurora, which is about, with no traffic, a 45-minute drive, but with traffic, about an hour and a half drive. At 7 p.m. one night, they're thinking, I really want to see somebody become a Christian at School of Mines. They get in their car, they drive from Aurora all the way over to Golden, 7 o'clock at night when there's not many people out, and they just went and shared their faith for an hour.
Wow.
They met Kat. Kat studied the Bible for a whole year, just got baptized 2 weeks ago. I think about their faith to just say, I don't know how you're going to do this, but if one of us don't go and do something, nothing's going to happen. So I'm going to throw a little Hail Mary. We're going to get in our car and drive somewhere where, you know, we don't even know where to find people on this campus. They never even have been there before.
Wow.
I just find that God can just use a mustard seed of faith to do some incredible things with it.
Yeah.
Incredible things with it. Our campus sister in Colorado Springs was praying to get a Bible Talk back at the Air Force Academy, the United States Air Force Academy. It's in Colorado Springs. They had no cadets there. Everyone had graduated, and they had no way in. They started praying, God, help us to get a Bible Talk at the Air Force Academy. This was 2 years ago. Well, a guy gets baptized in Seattle. His younger brother goes to Air Force Academy. They reach out to his younger brother. Younger brother comes to church. Hey, I'm from the Air Force Academy. They say, great. Can we have a Bible talk in your room? And can you sponsor to get us all on the base? Mm. He says, sure, that sounds like a great idea. From there, they've had 6 cadets baptized.
Whoa.
And at the retreat, they've never been able to allow any students to go to our retreat. That was 2 weekends ago. They had 13 cadets.
Six
disciples and 10 visitors at our fall retreat, where they never had one cadet, period, go.
Wow.
But they just decide, God, this has never happened before. Let us pray that we get permission to go to this retreat.
Wow.
And not only did all the 6 disciples get permission, but they got permission to bring 10 guests with them.
Wow.
Come on.
This is something that had not been done. It's amazing what can happen. When you say, God, I don't believe this can happen, but I think you can do it. Please fill the gap where my doubt is and what I know you can do.
Yeah.
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 If you put that at the top of your prayer list, pray that every day.
Mm.
God, help me overcome my unbelief.
That's right.
What can you do with your life?
Yeah.
What can you do with your Bible talk? Mm. What can you do with your family? What can you do with this ministry?
Come on, bro.
If this was at the top of your prayer list. This is at the top of my prayer list. I prayed it this morning as I'm sitting in the airport feeling horrible, just sick. I'm like, I don't even want to get on a plane where the pressure is going to make my sinuses so bad. I'm like, God, just get me on this plane.
Yeah.
Help me overcome my unbelief. And I just think, wow, it works.
Come on.
It doesn't fix things, but it gives me enough faith to overcome my unbelief.
Right.
What's going on in your life right now that you believe God can do it, but yet you don't believe it can happen?
Wow.
Okay. Great question.
What are some things that you believe can happen, but you need some more faith to act?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
These probably aren't the things you're telling people. These are probably the things you're keeping secret and you're embarrassed to say.
Yeah.
What do you want to see happen between now and December finals? It's just 6 weeks away. Did you know that?
Come on, bro.
You're 6 weeks away. If you are in Denver. What between now and the middle of December do you want God's help in overcoming your unbelief? What do you want to see happen? What do you want more faith to see happen between now and the end of the semester? You need to be praying about these things.
Yeah.
Come on.
What are your if you can't?
Mm-hmm.
You know the Father said, if you can? What are your if you can't? Mm-hmm. God, help me to be pure.
Mm-hmm.
If you can.
Mm-hmm.
God, help me to help someone become a disciple. If you can. God, help me to be more of a servant. I should have raised my hand. If you can.
Right.
God, I want to lead. I want to help more people out. If you can. God, I want to become more encouraging. If you can. God, help me overcome my insecurities. If you can. Help me to repent. If you can. See, when I say them out loud, you're like, of course he can.
Right.
But yet, there's so many things convinced in our hearts that say, I don't think he will.
Come on.
Jesus says everything is possible for him who believes.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Come on, bro.
Everything is possible for him who believes. Do you believe that statement is true for you? Like in your heart, when you're all alone, when you get home tonight after this dance, do you believe that anything is possible if you can just have more faith in God? I got 4 practicals on how to become more faithful.
Come on.
You'll be so shocked at how complex they are.
Oh,
I can't handle it.
You can't. You know what the first one is?
Yes.
Prayer.
Hey.
Wow.
Prayer.
Too much.
I challenge you.
Come on, bro.
Pray.
Come on.
God, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. If you can cry out to God to help you overcome, don't you think he wants to help you?
Yes.
Don't you think he's going to answer that prayer? But if you're not praying about it, it's just going to stay there.
Yeah. Right.
Faith is powerful, but it waits for you to activate it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus goes on in this passage and he says, man, only some things can come out through prayer. There's only some things that can only be answered and happen through prayer. All right, what type of prayers are you having? Are you doing like the 15-minute one in traffic where you can't concentrate, the music's on in the background?
Wow.
Are you like actually having a focused time with God each day where you can just pray about things you really care about, things that matter to you? Quit these routine, he doesn't care. Dear Father God, please thank you for this. No, he wants to know what's inside of you that you're worried about, that you're fearful about, the things you care about, the things you're concerned about.
Great.
Man, pray like that, you're going to get some more faith.
Yeah.
All right, the groundbreaking number two practical.
Number two.
Read your Bible.
Oh.
Who can quote Romans 10:17?
Oh.
Who's got that? Who's got Romans 10:17?
Faith comes through the word.
Through the word of Christ.
Close enough. Yeah, okay. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the words about Christ.
Yes.
It is amazing. As you read your Bible, it has a supernatural ability to increase your faith.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You read this passage even tomorrow morning. Even though I read it tonight, it will increase your faith.
That's right.
Seeing God move, hearing his promises, seeing him break chains, seeing him do miracles, seeing him change people, that increases your faith.
Mm.
But if you're not getting a steady diet of the Bible, your faith's going to be starving.
That's right.
Yeah. Practical number three is be around others who believe.
Come on.
Well, Brian, we're a whole campus ministry. Don't we all believe? Yeah, but there's some of you who believe more than others.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of you that believe more than others. And you've got to find those people. You can usually tell who they are. How do you think you could tell a faithful person?
They're bold.
Yeah, they're bold. It's not about them, but there's something bigger than them that goes on, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else can you tell about a person who's full of faith?
They persevere.
They persevere. They're not quitters.
Right.
Yeah. They may be going through hard times. They may be weak, but man, they're not quitters. Like, they persevere.
Yeah.
What else can you tell about someone who's full of faith?
Yeah,
they can be real and they can see the facts, but they face them with faith.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you guys are just too optimistic and it's not even reality. Faith isn't just this blind optimism. It's facing the facts with some faith.
Yeah.
Now, this sucks. This situation's hard. Like, I need more of you.
Yeah.
I want more of you. That's a faithful person. What else makes a faithful person?
They look like my wife.
Oh.
She's their pumpkin spice latte, yes. But they probably want to talk about their faith. They probably share their faith.
That's right.
They probably have close friends around them because a faithful person is contagious. People want to be around them. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, if you don't feel very faithful, find a faithful person in here.
Yeah.
Find a faithful older person in the church.
Yeah.
And there's people who've been around longer, you've been alive doing this discipleship thing.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Gain some faith from them. Gain some perspective from them. But if you can be around others, you can borrow their faith. Isn't that amazing?
That's right.
I may lack it, but I can steal it from Mark for a week. Until I get enough of my own. You can. You can use their faith. There's times where I felt faithless, but I know somebody's faithful. I'm like, I'm going to Bible talk with them, and I'm going to share with them because they're faithful, and I'm just going to follow them around. And as they share, I'm going to become more faithful.
Yeah.
Man, I've been there. I've done that. I'm like, God, I don't know about me, but I see it in them. I'm just going to hang out with them for a little bit.
Yeah.
Get my faith going. You know what the fourth practical is?
It was.
What's the Nike sign stand for?
Just do it.
Just do it. You want to be faithful? You just gotta be faithful. You can pray and ask for faith, but if you're not gonna act faithful, what good is it? God, increase my faith, I'm gonna have more faith, and then you leave and don't actually act like God's gonna provide it. You're not gonna see much results in your faith. But if you pray, God, I doubt that my parents will come to church this Sunday. They persecuted me, I don't know. But you pray, God, help me overcome my faith, soften their heart. And then you go home and have a good conversation with your parents. That's faith.
Come on.
That's faith. Are the weak Christians and you're not sure if they're going to come to Devo Friday night? All right, God, please soften their heart. God, help me to bring them back to the body. Oh, God, open up their heart. And then you go up to them and you have a coffee with them.
Come on.
But if you just pray about it, but you don't act, faith is not just praying, although it is part of it, and it's not just doing, it's both.
Yeah.
So if you want to be more of a faithful person, you got to pray about it. You got to read about it. You need to be around it. But if you don't act upon it, you'll never be a faithful person.
Come on.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Do you want to see the glory of God in New Jersey?
Yes.
Like on your campuses, do you really want to see the glory of God?
Yes.
Sure.
Then you've got to have the faith to overcome your unbelief.
Come on, bro.
Let me just ask you this. Rob, can I ask him a question? Or do we have to go?
No.
All right, as I've been preaching, what do you feel like the Spirit has placed in your heart? What's a faithful thing that you just feel like, I need to overcome my unbelief for God to do this in my life? What's the, what was, I guarantee you God was putting something on each and every one of our hearts, and you just feel like, I don't believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. What is some of that? Let's do a little faith sharing, shall we? Yeah.
For me, it's sharing. I have a very difficult time with sharing my faith.
Yeah. So go find someone who doesn't and just steal their faith.
Yeah.
And about 4 or 5 people in, be like, all right, Black Panther, it's my turn. And you go. You know, I've seen people come out to Bible talk or say the Bible from some of the least polished invites. This one guy, Chris, who's so nervous, his heart's just beating out. He's just like, you run Bible! And the guy's like, actually, I just prayed about wanting to read the Bible. Yeah, what do I do to like the Bible?
You run Bible.
And then like the fear drops, like, oh, come with me. There's this one guy who was so scared that he didn't want to share with anyone close, so he'd wait till people got like 20 yards away and be like, hey, you! In the green, you! And people were like, what the heck does this guy want? You won't come to Devo with me tonight! And the guy in the green is like, what the heck is Devo? And then he kind of got over his fear. I tell you what, if you pray for it and you're around someone, it doesn't matter how it comes out.
Yeah.
God works through that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's that my younger brother would become a disciple. I had very little faith in that.
Yeah. I think family is one of the most testing things.
Yeah.
I pray for my family every day. I've been a disciple almost 13 years, and not one has become a Christian. But I also saw Christina's dad, who was around the church as the rest of her family became disciples for 10 years and then finally opened up his heart to become a disciple.
Yeah.
Or I've seen even in my students, some of them have more faith than me to bring out their parents and see them become Christians. So I think that's one of those things that could take a month or it could take the next 20 years.
Yeah.
But the question is, will you be faithful with your brother? And keep that door open, or will your unbelief keep you back from really having that faith? That's the challenge I face every day with my family. That's a real fear. Who has that fear with their family? See, that's a common. We're not alone. We should be sharing about what we feel about our family members and be asking for more faith, praying for each other's family members.
Yeah.
What are some other unbeliefs in the room? Help me overcome. Yeah, you know, when you try or you study the Bible, something they get so close and they don't make it.
Yeah.
There's very few things more heartbreaking than that.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to think, like, God, that was too painful. That was too hard. I don't know if I can do that one again. But then, I tell you what, if you persevere, you're going to find something. You're going to become one of your best friends.
Yeah.
The people at my wedding, my groomsmen, were some of the very people that I felt like I lacked so much faith to reach out to, but somehow God did it.
Wow.
We became my very best friends. I'm like, you know, uncle to their kids now. It's like, it's an incredible thing what can happen. If I look back at my college career and if I hadn't reached out to Jeffrey, Nick, Matt, these guys, I'm like, my life would be so different without them. So, cool thing is, you don't even have to meet someone. Maybe just go join a site with someone who's kind of more interesting. You guys ever feel that pressure, I got to meet them?
Right.
Well, you should try to meet them. But if you don't have someone, go love up on someone who did bring someone.
Good point.
And sometimes that will give you enough faith to go keep sharing. It's amazing. Sometimes the first person you ask is wide open. Sometimes it takes like 300 people. But will you have the faith to overcome your unbelief? That's a really, who relates to her? Man, can you use me?
Yeah.
I feel that way and I'm an evangelist. God, can you really use me? What are some other ones? Other unbeliefs we have. Ooh, we're so unbelieving, it's hard to share. Yeah.
Straight A's.
Straight A's. For some of you, straight A's is easier than others. That's just a real thing. But I would say if you give your best, that's what God wants. So if your best is a B, then so be it. But
huh?
Good.
Yeah, that's a hard one. What are some other ones? Come on, I'm a guest speaker. Help me out.
Yeah.
Well, mine was, I have lost a sister, but her faith wasn't as strong on God. Well, she kind of didn't believe in Him. So when she passed, my fear was always like, did she make it? Or like, whatever happened. And that was just like, sorry, I didn't make it sad, but that was always like my unbelief.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that haunted me my first couple of years as a Christian, was thinking about, man, there's people I really cared about, loved, that I don't know where they stand with God. But something changed in me when I thought, you know what, I can't dictate the past, but I can change someone's future.
Yeah.
And so my perspective started changing. Instead of being weirded or feeling kind of guilty about someone in or someone out, I just thought, man, the only thing that goes on after I die is my soul and the souls of the people I get to impact on this earth. And so you might not be able to dictate your sister's outcome, whoever that may be, but you can help other people's outcome.
Right.
And someone told me a really powerful thing about pain when you lose someone is there's pain that comes when you lose someone you love, but if you don't waste it, their legacy can live on through other things.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think whatever pain you may feel about that, use that to motivate you to reach out to other people.
Wow.
And then whatever you feel about your sister can result in really great things.
Yeah.
But it's a hard change of mind. That's not easy. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah,
two more. Yeah.
I struggle to believe that God would use my struggle with depression and anxiety for good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my wife struggles with anxiety and depression, and I've seen her help so many women, not because she's strong, but because she's willing to be vulnerable in her weakness.
Right.
And this is such a growing challenge that our generation is feeling and having, whatever reason it may be. And I think God can do some incredible things by you depending on Him.
Yeah.
In your darkest, loneliest moments.
Yeah.
That can help inspire others when they have no hope. At least you got God. There's thousands on our campuses that feel what you feel that don't have hope in God.
Yeah.
And I think you can make incredible difference on your campus because you have a hope that they don't have.
Yeah.
So you can share that. But that's a real thing. But I think God can use your deepest, ugliest moments like that to do extraordinary good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Last one. Who wants to share last one?
So I have that outstanding ballot at school, and I hold up a lot of money that I don't have. So I think that's
Yeah, that's a real faith. I was telling Matt, so we have like a commuter ministry too. Most of our students, of our 100, probably about 65, 70 of them work, go to school. Some of them, there's about 7 students who aren't in school this semester because they owe the school money.
Yeah.
And that's a challenging one. I don't know what your numbers are, but I do know that grants and scholarships can be filled out. And you can be really faithful with those. And if I was faithful, I wouldn't fill out 4. I'd fill out about 40.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we can think it's, I just have to drop out of school and work for $10 an hour, and in 2 years I can go back to school. But I figure if I can be diligent and figure out what are all my avenues back to school, scholarships, grants, working, maybe even a sponsorship, if there's something I can do, and then start using all those avenues, it's amazing what God can do.
Right.
But it's really easy just to feel like that mountain's too big to climb. I don't even want to start climbing it. But I find that if you can start being faithful with all the avenues maybe possible, and see what God does with it. But I've seen people in your shoes like, what? Maybe traditional school is not for me. And they went like, we just had one of our interns, Miguel, he just went and got a medical certificate. In 12 months, he makes more than I do.
Whoa.
And he wants to do ministry. I'm like, wow, that's great. And so he could still pay off that existence and go to a different type of school. So there's even ways like that, but for a long time he saw like, I can never just finish school. So I think the cool thing is if you knock on the door, you never know what may be open. So I want to encourage you, all right, you guys are going to dance. You guys got to dance, right?
That's right.
Yeah. You guys better turn up, all right? Okay, like, and have fun. Can you guys do me this favor? All right? Before you go to bed tonight, I want you to share with somebody in this room, another disciple, what you feel like you want to believe in, but you need to overcome your unbelief. Can you guys do that tonight? All right, before your head hits the pillow. Share with someone here. But let's end off with a prayer, shall we?
Yes.
All right. God, thank you for letting me spend time with the Jersey ministry. I'm so inspired by their faith. And God, they whether they realize it or not, their faith has been a shining example across the U.S. as you've been using them to reach out and impact.